You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
God has a plan. Even with everything that's been going on, God has a plan. When the world goes through challenges, God still has a plan. When you go through loss, joy, troublesome times or uncertainty, God still has a plan. When the biggest change in 70 years impacts society and the church globally, God still has a plan. In life's ups and downs, God has a plan. You know, God's always had a plan. From the beginning of time, He's always had a plan. His plan has and always will be to draw all people into relationship with Him. He loves people. He loves His created people. The people He created in His image and His identity, He loves them. In John 12, verse 32, it says this, "I'll be lifted up from the earth. When that happens, I will draw all people to myself." So with everything that is happening, God's plan still remains to draw people through Jesus. I love that passage of Scripture that God echoes His heart through Jesus, that He wants all people to be drawn to Him, into relationship with Him. It's in these moments, particularly even in these moments that are happening right now, that God echoes that to people. He draws them into relationship with Him. Now, for each and every single one of us, God can use these moments as part of His plan as well to draw our attention back to Him. It's so easy to be focused on other things. It's so easy to be focused on TV, social media, troubles that are happening at work. But in these moments, God can draw our attention back to Him. You know, perhaps you've been distracted, or perhaps you're yet to know God's love for you. I say this clearly to each and every single one of us today, that God has a plan and He loves you. In Psalm 145, it says in verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." Now, this moment for each and every single one of us to draw near, this is your moment. I put it onto each and every single one of us. The onus is on us. This is your moment to draw near and reduce the space between you and God. To spend time in His presence, to worship, to be comforted, to receive forgiveness of sin that separates us from God, to turn from our own ways to God's glorious plan for all humanity. God's glorious plan, John 3, 16 and 17. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." That is God's promise to you. That is God's promise to all humanity, that He loved the world so much, He loved you so much, that He included you in part of His plan in sending Jesus. God has a plan. What was God's plan through Jesus? God's plan through Jesus was to reconcile the world back to Him through Jesus. To reconcile you personally. When I say the world, I mean each and every single human being on planet Earth that was and is to come. To reconcile them back into relationship with Him. You know, these moments of uncertainty, We have had plenty of moments of uncertainty, amen, in the last 5-6 months. But I truly believe that these moments of uncertainty remind us that God's plan still remains. It may look like all is lost. It may appear that all is lost, but God still has a plan. And even when it appears that you know, all that you know that is true and certain seems like it's out of control, God is still true. His heart for humanity still remains. And as a follower of Jesus, we have these promises. And through the scriptures today, I want to talk about some of the promises that we have in God. Even in these times of uncertainty, it should draw us back to the promises more than the uncertainty. 1 John 5 verse 4 says this, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith in Jesus. Everyone who's been born of God, born of Jesus, overcomes the world. You have been made an overcomer. You have been made victorious through Jesus. Through your faith in Jesus, you've been made victorious and an overcomer. I don't know about you today, but that's a good promise. That's a great promise. If that doesn't get you like a little bit excited this morning, I don't know. The promises of Jesus. You've been made an overcomer. You've been made victorious through your faith in Jesus. You are an overcomer. So I don't feel like an overcomer at the moment. The scriptures say that through your faith in Jesus, through God who overcame the world, you take on the very nature of Jesus. Jesus was an overcomer. Through faith, we become an overcomer. Amen? Amen. For each and every single one of us. So, a little bit of a question for each and every single one of us. How do you live in hope when the world and everything that surrounds us is in despair? Because let's be honest, if you turn on the news, I don't know about you, but I've stopped watching. I don't want to see any of it anymore. I want to focus on Jesus. I want to focus on the commission of Jesus, because when you look at what's going on in every single country in the world, it's too much for our feeble minds to carry the weight of. We're not called to carry the weight of that, but what we are called to carry is the passion, the love, and the hope of Jesus to individuals. Amen. But how do you live in a world when all seems lost? Everything's in complete and utter despair. I want us to have a look at the journey of Jeremiah today. Jeremiah was a prophet. And if you follow the story of Jeremiah, if you've read through the books of Jeremiah, you may see that he's always a little bit upset. Always, he was known as the crying prophet. He was always a little bit sad of what was going on, what God was calling him to do. But at least he didn't go get in a whale, amen, for those who know the story of Jonah. His life was one of serving God and being faithful to the gifting and call that was on his life. And I think it's really important for us in this moment when everything else seems in complete despair, it's really important for each and every single one of us to look at lives like this. Lives who have been faithful to the gifting and call that's on their life. It's a beacon light for every single one of us to look to these individuals. Was it easy for them? Absolutely not. It was not easy for them. But were they faithful? Were they humble to the call of God that's on their life? Yes. He stayed on message even when it was uncomfortable. The message that God had given him, or the prophecies that God had given to him, he stayed on those messages even when it was uncomfortable. I want to encourage you that God has given you a message, and it's the call for each and every single one of us to stay on that message even when it feels uncomfortable. In these times of despair and uncomfortableness, we need to stay on message. What is our message? Our message is Jesus. Our message is Jesus, the hope of the world. Our message is Jesus, the salvation of the world. That is the message that we need to share with ourselves, to remind ourselves. That is a message that we need to share with our friends, our family, and whoever God would call us to share it with. Amen. He stayed true to the message of God, even when everything around him and everyone around him said that he was wrong and he shouldn't be saying these things. See, Jeremiah found himself being activated by God to call God's people back to God, back into relationship with him. They had begun to become lost in other religions, and they'd brought idols into their lives, their houses, and their hearts. They were looking elsewhere when they needed to look to God, their Father and Redeemer. See, in Jeremiah 2, we're not going to go through every chapter this morning because we'll be here for a little bit, but in Jeremiah 2, God charges Jeremiah to call God's people back to their one true love. They had been unfaithful to God and loved other gods. And God was calling his people back. Jeremiah 3, God delivers a message that he is willing and he is able to restore and forgive his children. See, God always has a plan. He always wants to restore his children back into relationship with him. See, this communication between God and Jeremiah and God's people went on and on and on. In fact, God uses Jeremiah for over a 60-plus year journey of speaking and trying to get the truth to be brought to his people so that these people would understand the promises and the hope that God has for them. People have been separated from God's love and his relationship. So we ask the question again, how do you live in hope? See, when I look at this story of Jeremiah over that 60-plus year journey, what's the one thing that Jeremiah did that other people didn't do during that time? He listened. He listened for God's voice. What does God want to say right now? He spent time with God. He chose to be someone who stood in the presence of God, listened. So how do you live in hope? You make sure that the voice you're listening to is the voice of God. How do you live in hope when everything else seems in despair? You make sure that the voices you're listening to, let it be the voice of God. Not the voice of negative news, not the voice of despair, not the voice of family members like the world is this, the world is that, this person's it. No, you need to hear what God wants you to hear. He has a message that he wants you to share. The message is Jesus. But if all you're doing is listening to the haters, if all you're doing is listening to those other voices that are downcast and downtrodden or are bringing idols into their hearts, their lives and their houses, you're going to get distracted. You're going to get dragged off where God has called you to be. And I say this very, very clearly and succinctly today. For us, it may feel like we're outside of God's plan right now. So did he just say that? There's a lot of stuff that's been going on. I said this to our creative team earlier in the week. For the last 60, nearly 70 years, nothing has happened of this magnitude that has affected us socially, globally, and within the church. We're talking World War II is when the impact of war was felt like this. Yes, Vietnam was real, but World War II, global chaos. People not being able to meet in churches for fear of planes flying over and bombs. Right now, we are in the midst of something so massive. Let's call it for what it is. This is the biggest thing to happen in nearly 60 to 70 years on the globe. It may feel like, it's like, God, what is your plan and am I in it right now? It may feel like that. There have been so many changes, so many disturbances, such focused global disturbance, more than it's been experienced in generations. I want to encourage you, God's plan still remains. God has a plan. God has always has a plan, and it still remains. His plan remains. The commission of Jesus remains. God's chosen people are still tasked with sharing the truth and the love of God, and you and I are part of that plan. Yes, everything that's happening is real. Yes, everything happening is a massive disturbance, but the plan doesn't change. God wants to draw people back to Him. See, regardless of what is happening around us, God is still moving in us. God is still moving through us. Your thoughts, your feelings, they may be of concern. Your thoughts, your feelings, they may be doubtful thoughts, but God's plan still remains. And I encourage you today, you are still part of it. So one of the things that I see in the life of Jeremiah is this, and this is for each and every single one of us. We need to be close enough to listen. If you're going to take something away from this message, be close enough to listen. It's time to close the distance. If maybe all these things that are going on, of course, you just to not run away from God, but just isolate in whatever your coping mechanisms are, your normal coping mechanisms. Like, to get through this, I need to just read lots of books. To get through this, I need to watch lots of TV. To get through this, I need to be really, really close to people that I can trust and depend on. I want to encourage you. You need to be close enough to listen to God's voice. This is where we hear Him speak to us and encourage us and build us up in the Spirit. See, God has a perfect timing for all things. And be reminded today in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11, scripture-based, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom the work God has done from beginning to end. I understand it is so difficult at times to fathom what is going on. It's so difficult at times to fathom what is going on right now. But God has written eternity in the hearts of men. Why do I highlight that today? Eternity is written in their hearts, but they have to hear the good news of Jesus for eternity to be activated. Amen. We have a mission. God has a plan, and He wants to move through us. We are part of it. Everything has a time and place in God's plan. In Proverbs 16:4, it says this, "The Lord works everything together to accomplish His purpose. Even the wicked are included in His plans. He sets them aside for the day of disaster." Isn't that a perplexing scripture right there? It's like, hang on a second. You mean that God uses everything and everyone for His purposes and plans to come to pass? Yep. Even people who are carrying things in their hearts that they should never carry, God can still use those people for His plans and His purposes to be accomplished. That's a whole other message of right there. That's a whole other series right there. But today, be encouraged that everything that's going, even though it looks like there's chaos and evil and everything is dominating, God uses all things together to accomplish His plans. What's His plan? To redraw and reconcile all people back to Him. He will use everything that's going on to draw people to Him. Even when trouble comes, God's plan still works all these things together. Our trust and our confidence is called to be in Him and His perfect plan. I understand we can't fathom it, but we just need to stay close enough to listen so He gives us the next part of what we need to hear. It may well be time, and I say this because I know that for many people right now, this is what you need to hear. It may well be time to shift and refocus your trust and your confidence that God has everything under control. So yeah, my salvation, I trust Him for my salvation, but all these other things that are going in, it may well be time to shift and refocus where your trust and confidence is. It's called to be in God for everything, not just your salvation, for everything that's going on in your life, in your family. Shift it back to Him. Focus, refocus on Him. So I believe that we're all being drawn back into this place. We're all being called back to a closeness and depth of relationship with Him that exceeds what we have known. for every single one of us. Let's put aside whether you're working, not working, volunteering at a church, volunteering in a social group. All those things don't matter. What matters is that we are all God's children, restored into relationship with Him, and He is calling every single one of us back to a place where we can hear Him and trust in Him and have complete confidence. See, God's word through Jeremiah, it goes to the generations. It goes through the generations. And this is, I love this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah 32. And it states God's authority and God's providence for each and every single one of us. Jeremiah 32, 27, and it says this, "I am the Lord, the God of all humankind. There is indeed nothing too difficult for me." And so even when you see all these things happening around you, I want you to claim this passage of Scripture. I want you to remember this passage. He is the God of all humankind, and indeed nothing is too difficult for Him. Nothing's too difficult for Him. The challenges that you're facing right now, the internal conflict that's going on in your heart and your mind, it's not too difficult for Him to come and bring comfort, for the Holy Spirit to come and bring comfort and healing and walk you through the conflict that's happening in you right now. So today, be close. Be close. Be close enough to hear. Be close. See, being close to God is the key to understanding. When we're at a distance, if I'm trying to have a conversation, you know, we have a 15-acre property here at church, and if Renu's standing up at the road at the front and I'm standing back at the gum trees at the back, and we're trying to have a conversation about what needs to happen for our Sunday morning service, I'm pretty sure it's going to look like complete and utter chaos. I would be standing here. There would be no lights on. I wouldn't have a microphone. You wouldn't see me because the cameras wouldn't be on. Like, if you want things to come into line in your life, it's time to be close. When you're close to someone, the communication is unbroken. You're close enough to the noise gets pushed away, and all you see and hear is the voice of God speaking to you. In Jeremiah 23, 18 to 24, we catch this glimpse of God asking a question. You know, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Obviously, there's been other people at the time of Jeremiah who are interpreting everything that's going on. And I just want to bring some truth to this. There may have been some people who you're paying attention to on social media or blogs or other groups online, or and they've been interpreting things that have been going on right now. And you may have listened to it and fully bought into it, or you've listened and gone, oh, there could be some truth to that. I want to encourage you that at the time of Jeremiah, there were people doing this as well. And they were using what they felt, what they had internally, personally discerned about what was going on in Jerusalem and potential invasion. I encourage you, you really got to read the book of Jeremiah. It's a beautiful book. But they've been interpreting it through their own understanding. And so I want to encourage you, through everything that's going on right now, don't interpret what's going on right now through someone else's Facebook post. Don't interpret what's going on right now through someone's conspiracy theory YouTube clip. Because I tell you the truth, they will take you on another place, on another plan, that's not God's plan for your life. Even well-meaning, good-intentioned people will say things to you, but does it line up with the Scriptures? Does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with God's plan for your life? In Jeremiah 23, 18 to 24, this is what we see. "For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and perceived and heard His word? Who has marked His word and heard it? But if they had stood in my counsel," when he's talking about they, he's talking about those other people who were prophesying but weren't prophesying the word of the Lord. "If they'd stood in my counsel, if they had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from their evil doings. Verse 23, am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? Am I a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places? Shall I not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? So this passage of scripture, what God is saying in this conversation with Jeremiah is, those other people could have delivered a word from God if they just stood in his counsel, if they just spent time in his presence. They could have helped turn people from their wicked ways back into a relationship with God. And so my encouragement for all of us, we don't need to worry about holding other people to account. God will take care of that. Let's hold ourselves to account. Individuals, right? If we just stood in the counsel of the Lord, if we just spent time in the presence of the Lord, let's not even go there. Let's just spend time in the presence of the Lord. Let's just spend time in the counsel of the Lord. Because when we spend time in the counsel of the Lord, the plan goes forward, the commission goes forward. Our words that we speak to people cause them to turn from their sinful ways and turn to relationship with God. The call of God in this passage is to be found spending time in the presence of God, taking on his counsel and his care and hearing his heart. Or don't you want to hear his heart? If we could just stand in his counsel, if we could just hear his heart, then our message will call people back to Jesus. And I say it again, our message is Jesus. Our message is the hope of Jesus. He's not a God who's far off and derelict in his duty of taking care of his loved ones. No, that's not my God. That's not God. No. So listen to the Lord. Stand in his counsel. Proclaim the hope of Jesus. Proclaim that your hope is in Jesus. So I truly believe that he's calling his church to a season to deeply abide in Jesus and to listen to his voice. This message of hope calls us not to live in the present challenge, but in the victory of our salvation. Are all those things real? Yes. Do we have to process those things through our emotions? Yes, we need to process our emotions. Those things are real. But we're not living out of those circumstances. We're not living out of our emotions. We're living out of our salvation. We're aware of those things are present. Yes, we need to process those things so we can understand them and not have them overcoming us with our emotions, because we don't want to be overcome with our emotions. But let the Spirit overcome you so you can process those things. Don't isolate from them. Don't switch off from them. It's time to be in his presence so he can speak to you, so that you can have victory in every area of your life. Essentially, what I'm saying is this. Live from eternity in the present. Yes, we know that one day we're going to go home to be with Jesus. So we're going to live with that hope and that joy. We're going to live with that victory. We're going to be overwhelmed with the Spirit of God. But we're not living for there. We're living for people who need to be part of his plan right now. God has a plan. God is calling people to a depth of relationship and discipleship with him. I'm going to say it one more time. I felt this deeply impressed upon me this week. God is calling people to a depth of relationship and discipleship with him. See, perhaps you've been called into relationship, but perhaps discipleship and going on and following in all his ways has been something that's been a struggle and a challenge. God is calling you. He has graced you, not just to have relationship, but to walk forward in discipleship with Jesus as well, amen. He's called you for it. He's graced you for it. It's part of God's plan for your life. See, even when all appears lost, God still wins. When all appeared lost with Jesus, God still won. He won the hearts and relationship of all humankind when Jesus went to the cross, was buried, went to the grave, but he didn't stay there. All appeared lost. God still wins. God's plan still wins. He's proved it through Jesus. And let's be frank today, he's proved it through you in following Jesus. God's plan still wins. Each and every single one of us, we're on a path of sin, on a path of following sin, on a path to nowhere good. And God's salvation, God's hope, reached out to us because someone shared a message with us. The message of hope. God's plan still wins in your life. It's been winning and will keep on winning in your life. And God has called you to have it win in somebody else's life as well. You know, during this time of generational change across society, as we know, why do I say generational change? What is happening in this season is going to impact generationally. See, in the natural, it's going to impact generationally, but I truly believe that it's going to impact generationally in spiritual places in your family as well. What am I saying? I believe that generationally, God is calling people back to him, and he wants to use you in your family and other families. See, generational impact, reverb, all the way through your family as people are drawn back into relationship with him, just as the team comes this morning. God is calling people back to him. The only foundation, the only hope that we can trust in, Jesus. We've been called back to him. You know, you may be watching, you don't know Jesus. It's maybe the first time you've even heard of the hope of Jesus, the salvation of Jesus. God loves you. He's drawing you near. That's part of God's plan. He wants to draw people's hearts back to him so you can have perfect, beautiful relationship with God. No longer be a slave to sin or a slave to other things. He wants to bring you back into relationship with him. Proverbs 16:3 says this: commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord. Everything you do. So God, I'm doing this for you. There is no intention in my heart right now that this is to benefit me or bring glory to me. Everything that I do, I'm doing it for you. I want to be a beacon of light and a beacon of hope. Everything you do in this time, in your family, in your workplace, and everything that you're doing, commit it to the Lord and he will have your plans be established. In other versions, it says, and your plans will succeed. So you may not know God. You may not know his plans. You may not know his promises, but he loves you. You may know his plans, you may know his promises, you may know God, he loves you. So you may know God, but this time has rocked you and caused you to be concerned. Maybe it's caused you to be isolated from God's counsel. Wherever you find yourself today, knowing God, not knowing God, being close to God, being isolated from God. I want to encourage you today. His heart is for you, regardless of where you fall today. His heart is for you. He's calling you to come close and be in his counsel and be in his presence. This is God's heart for you. Earlier on, I said that God's called all of us to be part of his plan. In Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says this: for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In the New Living Translation, it says it like this: for we are God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. God has a plan. God has a plan for us. He has a overriding plan of salvation and bringing people back into salvation with him, but he's called us to be part of that plan, and he has planned works for us to share the hope and the good news of Jesus. See, when God speaks counsel to you, just like he spoke counsel to Jeremiah, it's so you can put things in place now. Yes, he might tell you about future things, but when he speaks a word to you, it requires you to activate it now, to start living out his plan so that those things in the future can come to pass. What you do today matters. Your response to God right now matters. You know, you might say, oh, I'll come back into relationship with God when everything settles down a bit, I just want to encourage you, think back 7 months ago when everything was calm and settled. Were you in a place then? What you do today matters. Your response to God now matters. The future is important, but the future doesn't happen how it's meant to unless we come back to God and His counsel. Draw near to Him and listen to His counsel. Activate the plans so the good plans that He's prepared for you come to pass. Am I saying that it's like a dangling carrot? No, no, no. I'm just saying what we do right now, it matters. How we live our days right now, it matters. See, for all of us, we look at this picture of Jeremiah. As I did a bit of an overview, in his walk, he walked faithfully. He walked humbly. He was a disciple of God. He walked submitted. And he walked according to the plan that God has for his life. See, for each and every single one of us, just as we're coming to a close today, God loves you, has a plan for you. You heard me say before that God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross so that you could be forgiven of your sin and restored back into relationship with him. The plan still remains. The hope still remains. It's Jesus. Romans 10 verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So for each and every single one of us today, if you don't know him, if you're watching right now live on Sunday morning, you're watching at another time later on, I want to encourage you, this is your moment to respond to the hope, salvation, and freedom of God. To come into relationship with him. If this is the hope that you want, if this is salvation that you want a relationship with God, can I encourage you right now to pray this prayer after me? This is a prayer of believing that God is God. He sent Jesus, raised him from the dead so that you can have forgiveness. Why don't you pray this prayer after me? Dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus, that he died on a cross, was buried and rose again for the forgiveness of my sins. I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I surrender my life to you. From this day on, I'm following Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.